world, and because he belonged to the world, he grew and developed and became brighter and more dexterous, until one day he was so bright and so dexterous that we had to call him Homo sapiens sapiens, which means he was us. And that's the way the levers lived for 3 million years, as if they belonged to the world. That's right, and that's how we came into being. Ishmael said, "We know what happens if you take the taker premise that the world belongs to man. That's a disaster. And what happens if you take the lever premise that man belongs to the world? Well, then creation goes on forever. How does that sound?" "It has my vote." "Something occurs to me," I said. "It occurs to me that the story I just told is, in fact, the story the levers have been enacting here for 3 million years. The taker's story is the gods made the world for man, but they botched the job, so we had to take matters into our own more competent hands. The lever's story is the gods made man for the world, the same way they made salmon and sparrows for the world. This seems to have worked well so far, so we can take it easy and leave the running of the world to the gods." "That's right," Ishmael said. "There are other ways to tell it, just as there are other ways to tell the story of the takers, but this is as good as any." I sat there for a while. I'm thinking about the meaning of the world, divine intentions in the world, and the destiny of man, according to this story.
"Go ahead," Ishmael said.
"The meaning of the world, I think the third chapter of Genesis had it right. It's a garden, the gods' garden. And there are two trees in the garden, one for the gods and one for us. The one for them is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the one for us is the tree of life. But we can only find that tree if we stay in the garden. And we can only stay in the garden if we keep our hands off the gods' tree." Ishmael gave me a nod of encouragement. "Divine intentions. It would seem it's a sort of tendency in evolution, wouldn't you say? If you start with those ultra-simple critters in the ancient seas and move up step by step to everything we see here now and beyond, then you have to observe a tendency toward complexity and toward self-awareness and intelligence, wouldn't you agree? All sorts of creatures here seem to be on the verge of attaining that self-awareness and intelligence. So it's not just humans that the gods are after. We were never meant to be the only players on this stage. The gods intend this planet to be a garden filled with creatures that are self-aware and intelligent."
"So it would appear," said Ishmael. "And if this is so, then man's destiny would seem to be plain."
"Yes," I answered, "amazingly enough, it is plain. Man is the trailblazer, the pathfinder. His destiny is to be the first to learn that creatures like man have a choice. They can try to thwart the gods and perish in the attempt, or they can stand aside and make some room for all the rest. But it's more than that. His destiny is to be the father of them all. I don't mean by direct descent, by giving the rest their chance, the whales and the dolphins and the chimps and the raccoons. He becomes, in some sense, their progenitor. Oddly enough, it's even grander than the destiny the takers dreamed up for us. Just think, in 1 billion years, whatever is around then, whoever is around then, says, 'Man? Oh, yes, man! What a wonderful creature he was! It was within his power to destroy the world and to trample all our futures into the dust. But he saw the light before it was too late. He pulled back and gave the rest of us our chance. He showed us all how it had to be done if the world was to go on being a garden forever. Man was the role model for us all."
"Not a shabby destiny," Ishmael remarked.
"Not a shabby destiny by any means. And it occurs to me that this gives a little shape to the story. The world is a very, very fine place. It wasn't a mess. It didn't need to be conquered and ruled by man. The world doesn't need to belong to man, but it does need man to belong to it. Some creature had to be the first to go through this, had to see that there were two trees in the garden, one that was good for gods and one that was good for creatures. Some creature had to find the way, and if that happened, then there was just no limit to what could happen here. In other words, man does have a place in the world, but it's not his place to rule. The gods have that in hand.
Man's place is to be the first. Man's place is to be the first without being the last. Man's place is to figure out how to do that, and then to make some room for all the rest. And maybe when the time comes, it's man's place to be the teacher of those who are capable of becoming what he's become. Not the only teacher, not the ultimate teacher, maybe only the first teacher, the kindergarten teacher. But even that wouldn't be too shabby. And do you know what? All along, I've been saying to myself, yes, this is all very interesting, but what good is it? This isn't going to change anything.
And now?
This is what we need, not just stopping things, not just less. People need something positive to work for. They need a vision of something that, I don't know, something that...
I think what you're groping for is that people need more than to be scolded, more than to be made to feel stupid and guilty. They need more than a vision of doom. They need a vision of the world and of themselves that inspires them.
Yes, that's right.
I trust you now see a point I made when we first began. The story being enacted here by the Takers is not in any sense chapter 2 of the story that was being enacted here during the first 3 million years of human life. The Lever story has its own chapter 2.
What is its chapter 2?
You've just outlined it, haven't you? We'll never know what the levers of Europe and Asia were up to when the Takers came along to plow them under forever, but we do know what they were up to.